CJLO is a college community radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus of Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. We broadcast at 1690 kHz on the AM dial and have a transmitter with 1000 watts of power. The views expressed on air do not reflect CJLO. Any views expressed during a show are those of the DJ and not of the station as a whole or its management. If you would like to find out more, please visit our website at cjlo.com. Thanks for your support and keep listening to CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal's underground radio.
CJLO in Concordia University sits on the traditional territory of the Mohawk, or the Ganegahaga people. The island called Montreal is known as Dardake in the language of Ganegaha, and has historically been a meeting place for other indigenous nations, including the Algonquin people.
For CJLO News, I'm Erdine Batzorek. Hundred 113 Quebecers returned home after being stranded by Haiti protests. The tourists arrived back on Saturday evening after being lifted by helicopters from Port-au-Prince Airport, then flown to Canada. Staff from Air Transit, the company which booked the vacation packages, were on the scene at Port-au-Prince Airport alongside Canadian Embassy employees to help facilitate the tourists. According to CBC, since February 8, Haitian protesters have blocked streets and highways to rally against skyrocketing inflation and the government's failure to prosecute the alleged misuse of development funds from an oil assistance program sponsored by Venezuela. Fans and community members are rallying behind a Toronto musician whose instruments were stolen in January. Jeff Burke, a longtime street musician in Toronto, had his instruments stolen when he left them unattended for a few moments while he took a bathroom break on his way home. Quote, "Everything that musically mattered to me was gone in that instant," end quote. Since then, Burke has filed a police report and has also been tracking down serial numbers and trying to collect information on his own. Leo Nelson, a longtime friend of Burke's, started a crowdfunding campaign so that Burke can replace his old instruments. According to CBC, the campaign raised $8,817 in just 5 days. While he's still hopeful about finding his instruments, Burke says he's extremely grateful for their help. Quote, "Just another reminder that we're not alone, and people are always happy to make a difference for you in return for what you do for them," end quote.
Climate change, how can you not be passionate when you see so many people around you here today? You know, we're concerned about the future. I mean, people assume that the youth don't care about politics, they don't care about the future, but, you know, we're showing otherwise.
That was the sound of students in the UK who on Friday walked out of schools to march against the government's inaction towards climate change. The students urged the government to declare a climate emergency and take active steps to tackling the problem. An estimated 15,000 youth took part in the demonstration all across the nation. According to BBC, the action in the UK was part of a bigger global movement known as Schools for Climate Action. It began with 15-year-old Swedish student Greta Thunberg skipping class to sit outside government buildings in September, accusing her country of not following the Paris Climate Agreement. The National Association of Head Teachers said in a statement that they do not condone students missing school, but it was up to individual schools to decide how to respond to the protests. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Job's a joke, you broke, your love life's the other way. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. But I'll be there for you. When the rain starts to fall, I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. Cause you're there for me too.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Monday night. You're listening to Here For It. I'm Cami, and I'm here with Amanda.
Hey, so tonight we're talking about our chosen family, our friends, and it was really hard not to like clap along to the Friends theme song. So
I was so excited about that song.
I was watching Friends actually before coming here. So
I watch Friends every single night of my life, no joke.
Yeah, and I'm rewatching it.
Yeah.
It's basically like The Office. There's no amount, like, there's not too much of it. You can't have too much of Friends. You can never get too tired of it. So tonight we're talking about Friends and the difference our friendships have throughout the years. So, like, let's start from the beginning. Let's start from elementary school. And for some of us, that was, like, what, 15 years ago? Oh, my God.
Just about, yeah.
Just about. I find like friendships in elementary school was just so easy. Like,
definitely.
Just so easy. Like, you just go up to a kid and be like, "Can I play with you?" And they're like, "Yeah." And then that's how your friendship started.
That's no joke how my friendship started with one of my best friends.
Yeah. From today, like,
she asked me if Vanessa's listening. Hey, what's up? She asked me if I can go, because there was only one pink Play-Doh in the tub of all the colors of Play-Doh.
How old were you?
We were five. It was kindergarten. Okay. And she's like, "Can you please go get me the pink Play-Doh?" Because there was only one, and every single time it was like playtime, everyone would rush there and all the girls would like fight over the pink Play-Doh. How stereotypical is that? Anyways, and I remember this one day I just ran over, and you can hear like the marathon like background music while I'm running towards the Play-Doh. And I grabbed the pink one, and I'm like, "I'm going to make Vanessa my best friend." And then I ran back to her with it. And ever since, it sparked a beautiful, blossomful friendship.
Blossoming? No.
Blossomful is a new word. I just made it up.
Did you ever do, like, have you ever had this thing where you meet someone, or you're near someone, and you decide, like, "I want to become friends with you." And you
100%.
Like, you haven't even, like, met them, even spoken to them, but you're just like, "You, I have good vibes." Most of the time, doesn't end up being, like, it has happened where I'm just like, I found out that this person was just, like, not a good person. So I was just like, "Oh, well, that's a bummer. Like, no longer friends."
Yeah, it didn't meet your expectations.
Yeah.
Okay. That, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I found that more in high school. I don't know about you, but for me, high school was, like, the worst with friends.
I wouldn't say it was the worst. I definitely think I grew from the relationships I had in high school.
Well, actually, no. I'm exaggerating. High school was actually really good for me for friends, because, like, all the friends that I made in high school, I still have, like, now. I think the worst was making friends in high school, because you don't have, especially when you're 12 and you just come from elementary school where the standard was, "Can I play with you?" Yes,
and now it's like, you've got to be cool to play with
me. Now you're like, I'm the new kid. Well, I'm like the loser new kid who's just like, I don't know what to do now. And so I became a bookworm. Not any points in the cool factor, but I mean, now I love books, so it's all good.
Well, I think I got lucky because I had my best friend from elementary school. We went to the same high school. So going in, we had each other for that first like high school experience. So we always had each other to lean on in mm-hmm. that sense. But I would say the friendships that I made in high school, you know, it's so funny how you just said like high school was your worst experience for friends. And I was like, oh, it's, you know, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't amazing, but it wasn't terrible. After high school, I just like pretty much, I think a lot of people actually just stopped talking to each other.
Really?
And that happened for me. Oh yeah. I still have like friends that I made from the beginning of high school throughout that I kept throughout. But I wouldn't say like I talk to them every single day, you know? I feel like, I don't know.
I find like being an adult, I guess we're adults now.
But I had this mindset that I just wanted to get out of high school. Mm. I was so over high school. I was like, let me just leave this place and get out. And I even had the mindset of like, I didn't want to go to the same college as the people I went to high school with. Not because I hated anybody. I was like really hungry for this fresh new start and fresh new like friendships. And I don't know, I guess.
For me, it was totally the opposite. Like after high school, the majority of me and my friends mm-hmm. went to Dawson.
Yeah.
So then.
Hey, I went to Dawson too.
Oh, shout out to Dawson. It was literally like we planned our days around each other's schedules.
That's so
like
so nice.
We like exchange on like Facebook our schedules. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I had like my printed schedule and I had in my blocks I'd have like my friends' names because that's where their breaks were. Mm-hmm. So we like make sure like always meet at our spot or we'd always hang around our lockers. So like the friendships that I had made in high school really, they were already strong in high school, but they were really shaping up in Sejep. And then once uni kicked in mm-hmm. and like we kind of separated our own ways, we still like we can't always talk to each other,
right?
Like,
oh my god, life happens.
Yeah, it midterms and everything. Yeah, like for during sure. for like 3 months during the year, like I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then we like meet up
once. You're in a hole for 3 months.
Yeah, basically. Like school is just like eating you up and you're just like, and then after 3 months it's spring and you're like, okay, do you want to hang out? And great.
Haven't
and, like,
seen you in 100,000 years, yeah. But let's hang out.
Catch up on the 3 months. And then you're just like, okay, we're good.
Why do I exaggerate so much? I just realized. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then, and then you're just like, it's all normal. Like, even mm-hmm. though you can see them maybe like once a month during the semester, it's always nice to see them, catch up, even just study. You don't really catch up. You just study. And I find like that's the difference between high school and uni is that you don't need to see them every day to like make it
definitely
like official. Like we're friends.
Yeah. But I feel like. So did you keep any of your friends from elementary school throughout? Like, are you still friends with anyone from elementary school?
I kept my childhood best friend throughout high school, even a little bit during Sejep. Mm-hmm. We're like on good terms, but we haven't spoken in a while. But I feel like if I were to like meet up with her or anything, like it would be fine. Yeah. From elementary school, I think, my falling out was in high school, was in elementary school, really.
Okay.
Because, like, I changed.
I would say mine was high school. Yeah. Like, I fell out from friendships from high school.
And for me, it was just different because, like, I changed towns after elementary school. So I didn't, like, start high school with my, like, the people I knew. So I just started from fresh. And that's why it was difficult for me at the beginning of high school because it was just a whole year where I was like, I don't have any friends. Aww. So it was really sad. Like, it was just like I was like in this classroom where like the teacher would play movies and it was just a bunch of like geeky boys and it was just me in the front of class eating. And then I would leave and then hang out in the library for the rest of the break just like reading.
That is so cute.
It sounds
looking
really
back, it's really cute. But in the moment, you were probably...
Yeah, in the moment, it wasn't the best. But at the end of the year, I met one of my best friends.
Aww.
Well, actually, I had... Like, we started hanging out. And then the year after, I found my core group. Like, we started hanging out.
Nice.
And, like, I'm still best friends with them. And my first best friend, Lizzie, is, like, off in Asia. And
oh, my gosh.
We send letters.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So it's, like, really nice. So, like, you always keep in touch or you're Skyping.
Yeah.
And, like, keeping letters alive, which is, like, always fun to get.
Yeah. So poetic of you.
I know.
I know that I found my... I would say the people that I hang out with today are my friends from college. So when I got to college, I had that mindset. Like I said, I wanted a fresh start. I wanted new friends. I wanted, you know, just something... Fresh, like I yeah. said. And so I would say that I hang out with the same people that I met in college, and we're a big clique. You keep dropping everything.
My laptop just isn't stable right now.
So yeah, shout out to my Dawson friends. I had such a fun college experience. You know how everyone says university is your, you know, your ultimate like top experience for school. I think college was mine. Dawson was really.
I loved my Dawson yeah, experience too.
I had such a good experience in Dawson.
Yeah.
I remember I met one of my best friends the first. Okay, hold on. Let me start from the beginning. So I went to orientation. This is a bit creepy, but Erica knows this story. Hi, Erica. So I went to orientation and I saw this beautiful, you know, short, petite, cute little girl, person. You know, it sounds creepy when I say it like that. But I remember seeing her and just she left such an impact on me. Like, I remembered her face. I remembered everything about her for some reason. I didn't even talk to her. I just saw her during orientation. And I remember, I don't know if you ever look at someone and like, it just, like, their face sticks in your mind.
Yeah, it's like a friendship, love at first sight.
Type yeah, of kind of, exactly, yeah. And then I remember on the first day of college, we were sitting in class, and our teacher was like, okay, so turn to the, so we were all sitting in this computer lab. Our teacher was like, turn to the person to your right, and that's going to be your best friend throughout college. And I was like, I turned to my right, Erica's sitting to my right, and then she turns to her right, but, like, she's at the end of the row. So she turns to nobody, and I just, from then on, I knew it was love, because she was, you know, it was just such a funny moment. I made fun of her, and I still make fun of her to this day.
She has no best friend.
Yeah. We'll take a very quick break, because we're already at 15. Wow, that went fast.
Yeah.
And we'll come back, and we'll talk more about friendships.
Les productions Nuit d'Afrique présentent la 13e édition de Cité d'art de la musique du monde. Les Cités d'art, unique distinction musicale qui souligne les talents des artistes de la musique du monde, vous invite à découvrir 36 groupes de musique du monde. Dans le cadre de ces concerts vitrines gratuits, venez voter pour vos artistes sculpteurs tous les mardis et mercredis, jusqu'à 18 avril au Club d'Alatou. Les Cités d'art, le prix du public qui fait grandir le monde. Pour plus d'informations, www.citiedart.com.
Mustard, radish, onions, coleslaw.
Sorry, what?
Mustard, radish, onions, coleslaw.
Sorry, what?
Mustard, radish, onions, coleslaw. Mustard, radish, onions, coleslaw.
All Jest. A delicious blend of all things synthy, disco, synth pop, new wave, and funk.
Tune in every Thursday night from 9 to 10, only on CJLO 1690.
You're listening to Here For It. You're here with Cammie and Amanda. And just before the break, we were talking about friendships, the differences between young adolescent friendships or childhood friendships versus adulthood friendships.
Yeah, and I have a fun fact. I know a lot of people know this quote, blood is thicker than water, meaning like your family is stronger, has stronger bonds than friendship, but actually the quote is the blood of the confident is thicker than the water of the womb, and it actually means that friendship is stronger than family, or it could be anyways.
So weird.
Yeah, and it's just, it talks about like the blood shed in battle is stronger than genetics. It's stronger than,
that is so crazy. Yeah. And all along, at least I thought it was the opposite.
Yeah, it took me a while before I like researched it, because I had vaguely heard, oh, it's not, we're not using it properly. And then, yeah, it was.
That's,
it was
so crazy. Good. When you told me that before, I was like, I don't know. Things like that come to me as a shock. So, Amanda, I have a very pressing question for you.
Yes.
What does friendship mean to you?
Oh, that's like a heavy one. Like that.
I know. I'm so excited.
I feel like friendship is both family and like a sisterhood. Mm. It's the people that you choose because you value the same things and you get along, and they make you they make you feel comfortable. And I think that's what I look into a friendship, like someone who I can be myself, where I don't feel judged. Yeah, and you're just. like when you can be your ultimate self with someone, that's when I feel like that is the friendship.
I definitely agree with that. Values is definitely up there. If it, you know, you want your friends to have the same values as you.
Yeah, or else it's just a mess. You're just like always fighting. It's especially if it's core values.
Yeah. Not that you'd always be fighting. It's just ultimately, like, in the end, if you can't agree or see things in similar ways, or even, like, a value doesn't have to be that you have to be similar, but it can be, like, that you accept each other's differences.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. that's so important. I think that, having, for me, I would say now, thinking about what a friendship means to me, it's no expectations of the other person. Because... Mm-hmm. Looking at my own routine and looking at my own life and how everything has played out in the past, I would say in the past 2 years, I really don't like when someone expects a certain title from me, if that makes sense.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I don't want a friend to expect me to be a certain way towards them or to in general. Like, don't expect me to call you every single day, because I'm not the type of person to text and call someone every single day to check in.
Oh, I'm terrible at that.
But it really bothers me if a friend does expect that of me. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Like, I guess it's just knowing your friend. Like, that's the whole point. Like, you have to know your friends and, like, where you stand and just mm-hmm. know what type of person they are. Because you might care, like, the most and... rarely text but really care about like meeting up and like catching up in person mm-hmm. and then you could also be the type who always finds something to text about and like constantly keeps the other one posted and not have to meet up every like week or two
that's
weeks.
So important because I think it's really great if your friends understand, like, first of all, I understand that my friends have their own schedules and they have their own lives, you know mm-hmm. we're at that point where it's like we're full-time students, we're part-time workers, or vice versa. And the truth of the matter is we don't have time for, especially, let's say, you're in a relationship, you have your family that you either live with or you don't live with and you have to visit because you don't live with them. You have school, and not just attending school, but the hours that you commit to towards school outside of class, right? And then you have your job. And then on top of that, some people have their relationships to work with. So I really, like, I really, really value respecting each other's boundaries in the sense of expectations and how often you expect this person to reach out to you. I can reach out to my best friends once a week and we're all fine with that. Mm-hmm. Even once every 2 weeks and we're still all fine with that. As long as you show that you're still around. And if I call you and I need you for something, or if you call me and you need me for something, as long as we can be there for each other in those moments, I think that that's what a friendship is to me right now.
No, yeah, for sure. And I read this article in The Atlantic, and it basically said that friendship is like the relationship that, other than like romantic relationship and your family, it has no structure. Mm. So you can go months without contacting a friend or like... keeping them in the loop, let's just say, and once you meet again, it's like nothing happened. There was no gap,
like no time went in between.
But you can't do that with a partner. You can't be like, okay, I'm not going to talk to you for like 3 months.
But what is?
But
that?
We're still it's together. Crazy. This I is know. Still a thing. Yeah, like
that is
you
so
have
true.
To nurture those. And I think that's what's makes friendships so strong mm-hmm. is that yes, you have to. There's some kind of nurturing because you have to have like you have to build your friendship. You have to maintain it, but there's also a lack of babying in a sense.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Where you are what you are, and this is the person you choose to be hanging out with and mm-hmm. Sharing your secrets and just spending time with.
Yeah.
And no matter how long you don't talk or don't see each other, it's still as strong.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I can't really talk for like relationships, but like, with a partner, like, you have to have, like, that nurturing. You have to, like, be with them or else that's not a partnership. It's not,
yeah,
like,
you definitely have to tend to that type of relationship a bit more.
So it's...
a lot more.
Like, a lot more. You kind of have to be in the loop.
Yeah.
Like, know what's going on.
I also think that friendships can begin a certain way. So, like, for example, my friendship with my childhood best friend, Vanessa, I was with her for so many years. We were with each other every single day. We didn't even hang out with the same people in school, especially in high school. We had different groups of friends. Mm-hmm. We were still best friends, but we had different groups of, like, cliques, you would say.
That's
And then after school, great. We'd be like, what you up to? And then we'd hang out with each other, and we'd just spend hours together every day after school or, like, a few times after school during the week. And that was our friendship. And I think that it's so important to allow each other to grow independently. Mm-hmm. And instead of always depending on one another.
Actually, like, I had a different, again, like, high school was so different for me. Mm. Like, for me, like, once I had my core group in, like, sec two, we spent, like, every lunch together. We were kind of, like, the outcasts, let's just say. Okay. We were never the same. There was not, like, a clique. It was okay. Just kind of, like, there was the ones who were kind of interested in emo style. And there's, like, the ones that were kind of nerdy and yeah. book it, like bookworms. And yeah. then there's even one who is, like, obsessed with boys and, yeah. like, just, like, the typical, like, girly thing. And we somehow kind of managed
to mix it
to,
all.
To, like, just mix it all. And we were always hanging out. And, like, within the group, we would kind of, like, split up sometimes. Mm-hmm. But we'd always, like, eat lunch together and kind of, like, split up.
That's so nice, though.
Or, like, we had, like, a little ritual. Like, aww. Wherever, we'd always have, like, a meetup point. Mm-hmm. We weren't the types to be in the cafeteria. We were the types to be in our English class, like, eating.
And during,
just, like,
lunch.
During lunch. Yeah. Or, like, the art room. And just, okay. we weren't the, yeah.
That happened a lot.
Or outside. Yeah. Like,
I would say I definitely switched it up. Like, every year there was a different, like, core group. That oh, really? Of people, not in a bad way, like, not that I would not be friends with people anymore. It's just that, you know, you're growing and you're, I think high school is such an experience of different phases that you go through. Mm-hmm. Like I went through the phases of, like, the bad haircuts and, like, you know, just, like, different themes that you go through throughout the years.
Yeah, it's like a rite of passage to have
exactly,
the bad haircut.
Exactly, exactly. And so along with those differences, like, different identities that I might have gone through, I guess the friends that I would hang out with would reflect that specific phase that I was going through personally.
That makes sense, yeah.
So, but never, the good thing about my high school was that the friends that I did have throughout high school, we were always friends. No matter, even if we didn't hang out, people were nice to each other. Like, the people that I was always friends with, we were always nice to each other, whether or not we hung out every single day. Mm-hmm. And that's just that's such a good thing.
And, like, we were talking about, like, making friends in high school and in elementary school, but what was your experience making friends that's in uni? Did you make any friends in uni? Was that a thing for you?
So, okay, so this is my question. Where do you define, like, how do you define a friend? Because I would say right now I do have friends. Like, I'm in the student association of my department. Mm-hmm. So those, the people that I'm with in that association, they're definitely my friends because I hang out with them. You know, we have things in common. But I would say in my first few years of university, I wouldn't necessarily call the people that I met friends just because I don't know much. I never hung out with them outside of school. Okay, but I definitely, like, I don't want to be mean and say they're not my friends. You know what I mean? Like, if I bump into them in the hallway and we did get along really well and we had class together, like, every second day, then yes.
Wouldn't they be acquaintances?
That's the thing. Where do you?
It's really hard because I was always the type to be like, my core group are all my best friends, mm-hmm. and then, like, it's just, and then, like, everyone else was just my good friend, yeah. Like, and then you have, like, the other ones where you're like, those are my acquaintances, which mm-hmm. I don't even like using because I'm like, no, I like your presence. I like hanging yeah. out with you. Mm-hmm. For me, like, university, like, the first year, I still had my core group, and I had, like, a friend, like, two friends that were at Concordia with me, so I would try to hang out with them, but then they ditched Concordia for McGill.
No!
I know. They ditched me, and then the second year, I decided, after my best friend decided to, like, try out for a sorority at McGill, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it too. Like, let's just see it. I didn't even know that was a thing in Canada. Yeah. Like, I was just like, okay, let's just go see, try it out, see, like, what's the deal. And I instantly, like, when I was talking with the girls, I was just, like, instantly wanting to, like, talk more to them. Mm-hmm. And I'm a shy person, so it was hard. And I was just like, each time I meet new people, I'm just thinking about, like, sec one. So I was just like, oh my God, this is so hard to like talk to
people. Okay, so it was like a traumatizing experience for you in a sense because you always think back to it.
Oh yeah, sec one was traumatizing. Oh, no. But then they were great and I joined.
Yeah.
4 years later, I went alum.
Ooh.
And yeah, and it was just like that was the moment where I actually realized like you can make friends in university and it just... Obviously, we're like a big group of mm-hmm. women and you might not be close to all of them, but you support each other
yeah.
and friendships do develop
definitely.
Within the sorority. And like now I can say that I have really good friends within and like I see outside, like it's not mandatory. Yeah. Like I want to hang out with you. Yeah. That's why I'm hanging out
see,
with
that,
you.
That's the thing for me too. Like the friends that I made in class, I like to call them friends because I genuinely enjoy their company.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we have jokes together. We have experiences yeah. that we had together, you know? And
I would call them friends.
Yeah. I think, yeah, definitely.
It's part of like networking. It's part of like,
yeah,
they have their own schedules. You have your own schedules. Like already you have a hard time like hanging out with your core group. Like,
yeah,
it's
that's true.
Hard to like find place. Like I'm going to hang out with all my friends, mm-hmm. but like there's also, friend like occasional friends, like let's just call them that. Like I like you, you like me, but we can't always see each other.
Mm-hmm.
You have your own group and I have my own group, but like when I see you, I like to hang out and then just go grab coffee type
yeah.
of thing. I think that's
I also have like my friends that like, so like I said, like my Dawson friends, I don't see all of them anymore just because life is just so different. But I do have my friends that I still see on a regular basis. Shout out to Naomi. Hey. I have like, you know, you go through phases of seeing your friends more often than not. So, for example, mm-hmm. like me and Naomi have been friends ever since college and we didn't used to hang out all the time. But then all of a sudden our schedules just seem to work.
Yeah.
You know, and now for the past year, we hang out so much more than we ever did. But we were always friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it also works the other way around where like, 1 year you might be hanging out so much with someone because somehow magically your schedules mm-hmm. work and not with the other. And then the other year it's like the opposite. And it doesn't yeah. mean like one is like your favorite. It just means
yeah.
that your schedules kind of like work like that and you're both busy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's what's
really
cool.
I so agree
about,
with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the bonds that you make, like the experiences that you have with each friend. You know,
yeah, there's like a different phases, type of friendship.
It's
I find.
So I love it.
I always
so
felt that with people, I tend to maybe not have a different personality, but like a different aspect of my personality comes out with different people.
Yes.
So that also forms different kinds of friendships.
Yes.
So there's like maybe with the occasional friendship, it's more like it's more like on the surface. So you're mm-hmm. more like fun and like. Maybe sassy and you're like kind of different in that sense. But
oh my gosh, yeah, so
yeah.
different.
And then with your like closest friends, they see like all of you. So you can be silly one day or really deep the next. And mm-hmm. it's like constantly.
Or even within the same few hours.
Yeah, within the
you know?
within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And like also what I love about my friends is that I can be the weirdest person ever. Like sometimes I'll like come up with like this weird like joke, but it's like a scenario type
mm-hmm.
And it's just like we're gonna feed off of our story and just like build up this like obscene like scenario.
Your friends just get you.
Yeah, and then you're just like it's not weird.
Yeah.
It's just to us it's funny. And like you have
and
so many
to nobody else it won't be funny
no.
to anybody else.
No, I don't think people would understand my real humor.
Oh,
I
definitely.
Just, like,
I agree. And I have a different humor with different friends.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and I don't know. I just love it. I love that each friend can bring out a different side of you.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you like one day you could have like a really dark sense of humor and then the other, it's like a stupid, like that's not even funny. Why are you
yeah,
laughing?
That I totally
often
agree.
Happens.
I love that.
And yeah, and like I was looking online again, like the same article on the Arctic and apparently like people between 20 and 24 years old spend the most time per day socializing and on average of any age group.
Okay.
And I think that makes sense. Like, I don't know if this is, I think this is American. So that makes sense where if you're in university,
mm-hmm.
you're like all from like different places. And if you're in dorms, obviously like that's
yeah.
where. But during that time, that's when you form like the deepest connections, either with friends that you already had in high school or like childhood or new friends, because you're an adult now. You know who you are. You're not like a teenager, like figuring out who you, like what your identity is and like kind of picking and choosing like what you want to be. Mm-hmm. As an adult, you already have that. You already have your set values and you already know what you want. So you already, like, you seek out the same people.
Yes.
Or, like, at least people with the same values. It doesn't have to be exactly the same.
I completely agree. I was actually reading an article. I wasn't reading this. I was reading articles today, but I was listening to... Have you ever heard of Mental Floss, the YouTube channel?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's John Green, and he, like, goes into, like, different different things every episode that he uploads, I guess you could say. And this video was 26 facts about friendship, and I found it really interesting. I pulled out a few of the facts that he was talking about. So one of the first ones was people lose half of their friendships every 7 years.
That's insane to me. That's just insane.
How crazy is that?
How do you do that?
But looking back, I wouldn't say I lost my friendships, but I lost the connection of friendships.
Well,
throughout 7 years, I would definitely say that happened.
Obviously, I've lost connections.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, you grow apart for sure with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to like filter out the toxic friendships as well.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say I like lost half every 7 years. Like, that's just a lot for me.
We would have to sit down and do the calculations.
Yeah, because I have to do the math, and I'm not going to do
they
that.
They must have pulled out this fact. They can't from somewhere. It can't just be like... Anyways, there was another one that said, our number of friends remain consistent throughout the years. So, for example, just to make it short, he was saying that people who... Let's say you hang out with a group of 5 to 6 people, and that's your clique. He was saying that it was actually a study made... So let's see, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So they had 24 student participants who are on the verge of moving from high school to college, so half men and half women. And the researchers gave them all phones and then sent them 3 questionnaires about their friendships over the course of 18 months. And they saw that a lot of turnarounds when it came to individual friendships, but the number of friends always stayed consistent. So meaning like if you're, like I said, if you're friends with 5 to 6 people, then... Whether or not the same people are in that group, you're always going to stay around the same number of friends in that group. So, for example, college, 5 to 6 friends. University, whether they're the same friends or not, it's still going to be around 4, 5, or 6 people. That was interesting to me.
I think that makes sense. I feel like my friend group did remain somewhat consistent. In high school, I think we were about... Well, my personal core friends were about, like... Let's say 6, 7.
Wow.
Yeah. Now I'd probably be like 5 about.
But it's around the same number.
Yeah, it's around the same number. And I still have other friends. Yeah. Like, it's just.
But like your core.
The core, yeah. Probably around 5. I'm not
going to count. Same thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to count right now, but I think I'm assuming around 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing. This is actually really interesting. So it said in the video, he was saying that a British person, so this was obviously from Britain, but
was
anyways,
it?
I guess so. He says a British person averages 396 friends over her or his lifetime.
I don't know. Like, after this, I'm gonna actually,
what?
I'm gonna go later. Like, when we leave, I'm just gonna write down all the friends that I've got, and I want to see like how much
since birth.
Since
I don't even know. I must have made friends at the pool when I was a kid. I wouldn't know them now.
No, I had like a few like friends that stick out when
I
was a kid.
Cousins count as your friends?
No, cousins don't count as friends.
Oh my gosh, I have a Greek family. We have so many cousins.
So that's like half.
That's already like 800 friends.
That's just cheating. No, I remember like I had like when I was a kid, I think the main friends that I had was like my childhood best friend from elementary school. I had a like best friend in kindergarten, but he left, so we weren't friends anymore.
That's like 1 year.
Yeah, it was 1 year. We were only friends because we were the only 2 French people in class who didn't understand what was going
on. Wait, you spoke French?
Yeah, I'm French.
No, I knew, but I thought like you always spoke English.
No, I only
I knew your background was French, but I just...
No, like when I started kindergarten, I only knew how to speak French and Portuguese.
Oh my god, that is so cute.
So people didn't understand me.
French fry.
And yeah, and I also had like friends like when I would go to my grandmother's, like the neighbors.
Oh yeah, you're the kids in the alley.
Yeah,
I had that.
I had like the neighbors, and they would always hang out. We were all same age, but those were my friends when I was like in elementary school.
Okay,
so I guess like that's four. Oh my god, I'm so bad in math tonight. I'm just like 4 or 5.
Listen to this. So there's this other thing that he was saying. So it said, one meta-analysis published in the scientific journal Public Library of Science Medicine found that low social interaction has similar impact on your health as 15 cigarettes a day or having more than 6 drinks a day. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I know that friends and having connections is good for your health.
I didn't know that.
Well, like, we're social, like, we're social creatures. Like, we're
but I didn't know it had such a big impact.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said, like, that much. Like, I wouldn't think it was that unhealthy, but I knew it was, like, it has some kind of impact on our health.
Okay.
I was not expecting that much. That's just excessive, I think.
I know.
I'm like,
when I read that, I was very shocked. Let's see what else it said. Having more friends might help us recover from diseases. I guess that goes hand in hand with the low social interaction and all that.
Yeah, I guess.
Another one said, oh, and then he goes into the, so in the video, he kind of switches it up a bit and he says, so not all of your friends are good for your health.
Yeah, I guess those go with the toxic friendships.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say he kind of went into toxic friendships and how, you know, how they're detrimental. Oh, sorry. He says, according to a survey from the University of Utah, half of your friends in your friend group are made up of these ambivalent or so-called frenemies.
Ambivalent? It just makes me think of ghosts. Like, no one's like, yeah. Isn't that ambivalent? Yeah.
I have no idea.
But I feel like I just said nonsense right now.
But. Sidetracked.
But ghosts. I guess
we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, I have too many stories about that. Anyways, no, I think it makes sense, but at the same time, I'm just like trying to think. Like, I don't think I have. I think I've filtered those. Like,
the toxic friendships.
Yeah, but
I think so too. At this point,
I mean, at this point, I hope so. But no, for sure, like I have, and like now I know what kind of friend, like what kind of people
if,
I'm attracted
what
to.
What happens if like one of your friends just ends up?
Well, like no, because becoming... if they end up being toxic, that's probably because they have some kind of issue. And if you can't help them throughout that, like,
yeah.
I think you have, as friends, you have to help each other. Like, definitely. If you know there's, like, some kind of change in attitude, like, there's something wrong, maybe, like, try to, like, help them. And then if it just persists, if they don't want the help or if they don't want
to even, like,
change.
No, I don't want help. Like, if I'm having an issue, I know this is really bad, okay? But I'm that type of friend that I don't seek help from my friends for...
Well, no, not really from your friends. Like, I wouldn't use them as crutches. I would just mean, like, if you don't want to help yourself and, like, become non-toxic, how can your friends stay with you? Like, you have to kind of help them. But if you're just... If it's, like, someone who's just... You realize they're inherently like toxic. They're not good for you. You feel like drained each time you hang out. Then I feel like, yeah, you should at least talk to them, tell them what's up. And if they don't change from
communication.
Yeah, communication. Like,
but so it's really important because I was reading this article. I don't remember what the article, like where the source was from, but I do remember that it was about, being self-aware. So, for example, you might think that a friend of yours is being toxic towards you, but in reality, you're being toxic towards them. And it's about being self-aware. And I think that's a big thing because we're always like myself included, you know, I've been in scenarios where I'm one to point the finger at the other person and be like, you're the toxic one or you're the one doing wrong. But really, it's like you're both toxic for each other, but you can fix that, you know, with communication and you can... The thing is, we can't be in denial. If someone approaches you and says, "This is the thing that's happening. This is how I feel about our friendship," whatever, we have to be self-aware and we have to accept that feedback from them, and we have to look at ourselves and kind of, you know, just sit and reflect on the way that we are being friends towards others. I think that's super important.
Yeah, that's for sure. Before I continue, I think we're gonna segue into our break. Before the break, we're gonna be listening to Real Friends
by Camila Cabello.
Yes, and so we'll be right back.
think I'll stay in tonight. Skip the conversations and the oh, I'm fine. No, I, no stranger to surprise. This paper town has let me down too many times. Why do I even try? Give me a reason why. I thought that I could trust you, never mind. Why are we switching sides? Where do I draw the line? I guess I'm too naive to read the signs. I'm just looking for some real friends. All they ever do is let me down. Every time I have somebody in, then I find out what they're all about. I'm just looking for some real friends. Wonder where they're all hiding now. I'm just looking for some real friends. Gotta get up out of this town.
In my suitcases, all this cash, that's friendly faces. Been moving fast, I'm racing. Get up, you're going places. Every day trying to maintain. Same old me, ain't a damn thing changed. Real friends screaming gang, gang, gang.
I'm just looking for some real friends. All they ever do is let me down. Every time I let somebody in,
considering a master's, MBA, or doctoral degree? Mark Saturday, March 2nd in your calendar and get over to the Palais de Congrès de Montréal for the Study and Go Abroad Fair. The best part? Admission is free. Check online at www.studyandgoabroad.com for more info.
Oops, music zone out.
Well, what isn't it? We hold music and social events, as well as workshops, and host a show on CJLO 1690 AM.
A show? What do you play?
Hip-hop, soul, jazz, and R&B, with a focus on what's new and local. You can also expect interviews and live performances.
We provide a platform for local artists to promote their music, art, and projects, and to connect them with the Montreal community.
I'm sold. When's your show?
Every Monday from 4 till 5 PM. Only on CJLO 1690 AM and online at cjlo.com.
And make sure to follow hashtag CMZO on social media.
You're listening to Hear For It, and you're here with Cammie and Amanda. And during the break, Amanda was saying she wanted to mention something, an honorary mention.
Yes, I wanted to mention, because we're talking about friends, and I mentioned before, too, that I write letters to one of my best friends.
Oh.
And it just... it made me think of The Sisterhood of Traveling Pants, and I think this movie is so underrated, and I just wanted to shout out to the movie. Because it's just...
It is a really sweet movie for friendships.
Yeah. Like, I rewatched it with my roommates a few weeks ago. We watched, like, one and two. And I remember
Is it on Netflix?
Is it on Netflix? I think the first one is on Netflix, maybe. No, the first one is on Netflix. It just, like, on Netflix. The second one not? No. But, like, I read their books when I was in high school. And it's a really sweet book about friendship. It just... It's these four girls who... are in high school, and Carmen is going to see her dad in the first one, who has been distant for a few years, and he has a new family. And now Lena is going to Greece, and she meets
Greece. Shout out to Greece.
And she meets, like, a really sweet, hot Greek, Costa.
Good looking.
If I have to, yeah. And Tibby is just stuck at home working and doing this documentary with, like, this annoying 12-year-old that just kind of, like, leeches onto her. And and then the fourth one, Bridget, is just being reckless at a soccer camp in Mexico. And it's just really beautiful how, like, they're always there for each other. And even though they fight, they, like...
They have their differences.
But they, despite having fights with your friends, you still love each other. Yeah. You know it's still strong. So that's why the shout-out, because I feel like everyone should watch it.
Oh, definitely. And a lot of people can relate to it, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, for definitely. Sure. My thing when I watch the movie, I'm just like, who am I?
Which one am I?
And I'm just like, I'm a mix of Carmen and Lena. Like, that's my two people.
Honestly, I haven't seen the movie in such a long time. I wouldn't be able to tell you.
You have to watch it.
Yeah. I think I'm going to. So I have a question for you. What would you do if you had... Because we're talking about friendships. So what would you do if you had something to confess to a friend? How would you approach it? Let's say if it not necessarily negative, like negative.
Like things, confess in what like, sense?
Like, for example, I don't know. Let's say you don't like the person that your friend is dating.
That's so hard. I feel like I would want, like, do I have a reason why I don't like them? Or is it just, I mean, like, sure, I don't like not? Your face?
No. No, then you have no reason to tell them anything, because that's just being picky. But no, but what if, like, I don't know, what if you just had a bad vibe from the person that they were dating? How would you approach that? Because you can't control your friends' lives.
I think.
Right?
It's so hard, because, like, it's happened in the past, for sure.
I think a lot of us have gone through that.
Yeah, and I think it's a really... It's a touchy topic, because, like, if it's their, like, it's the person that they like or even might love. Mm-hmm. But I think I would want to be, like, if it's genuine concern, I would tell them. I would, if they having, especially if they're having doubts right. about them, I'd be like, you know what, break up. Like, you should just break up.
But see, that's the thing. So I brought it up because I was reading an article on Psychology Today, and it said one of the number one things is in a friendship is to support them, to trust them, and to be honest with them. So I'm saying this because you want to support your friend, and you want to trust them, but you want to be honest with your friend. And that's just such a hard thing to do, because personally, I feel like in most of my friendships, I have no say in their relationships, because that's if they're genuinely happy and I don't, let's say I dislike the person just because I dislike them because they're just rude or like, or, you know, their personality is not something that complements like my own personality. How would you, because you can't control a friend. You can't do that.
And in the past, it's like it's worked against me and some of friends.
Yeah.
Just because, like, if you genuinely care for you really care for this person and whoever they're with is toxic, you don't want, like, you have to tell them that this person is abusive in whatever form, if it's, like, emotionally, like, especially, like, it's just no matter what form of abuse, like, you have to tell them, because they have to find, especially if they're with them, it's because they have to find their worth. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really difficult because it happens, like, they might backlash and they might choose them over you. And
exactly,
then in that process, you have to realize that if that's the case, just know your battles. And also, if they do choose someone else over their friendship, it also says something about where they are at that moment. And mm-hmm. you kind of just have to back out and be like, okay, well, good luck. But yeah. I can't be part of this right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What about not in their necessarily in their relationship either, but in any relationship? So, for example, with other friends, or you just have a bad vibe of someone that they've been hanging out with, and not because they're a toxic person. Literally, let's say they have no problem. There's no like they follow the stat, like the system, in a sense where it's like they don't. Oh my gosh, I can't even word myself properly. Okay. If your friend is hanging out with somebody who doesn't follow your values, doesn't complement your values, it's not your friend, right? So you don't necessarily have a right to tell them.
No, I think that at that point it's more of a personal thing. And
yes,
if they're,
but do you keep it to yourself, or do you still express it in a very healthy way? Like, you can just say, look, this is not the type of person I want to associate with.
I wouldn't mind someone telling me that. I'd mm-hmm. be like, okay, fine, you are not friends with them, I'm friends with them, and you can just still have two separate friendships without them merging. And I don't know if I would tell them, though. I feel like at that point, if you're friends with them, that's all that matters. And if they're like good friends with them mm-hmm. and they're like actually not toxic, or they're like good people, why am I just there to like meddle into their like friendship? It's not my place.
Yeah. Just because I know, like, for friendships, like especially in younger friendships, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Where you meet new people and then you're all of a sudden really close to another person. And like I just remember in elementary or high school, it happened a lot with friends that not that they were jealous, but they just felt like their friend was being taken away from them.
It's and a part of jealousy. Yeah. I think so, because it's just it's normal, because you're so close to that person and all of a sudden they're like so close to someone else and you're just like, no, you're just like,
this is not allowed.
You're just like, yeah, but I'm your best friend.
But
like,
I think it's okay to feel jealous. I think that's normal. That's a normal feeling, because something that you're close to is being taken away from you. So that's totally normal. But I also think it's important to express that. Like, yeah. I don't think it's a good idea to hold it in.
No, for sure. I mean, like, at a certain point, like, I think for me, I would probably get over it, and that's why I would.
That's the thing.
But if you're the type of person who's just like gonna like bottle it up and be like, I hate this person, maybe like tell them like I don't feel comfortable, just so that they know not to put you guys in the same room, basically. Like,
okay.
Just like maybe separating the friendships.
Okay.
But on another topic, like, I guess it kind of works because we're like talking about different ages.
Mm-hmm.
I read this statistic that basically, whether you're like 14 or 100, people
I hope I make it to 100. Yeah,
people seek out, like, what they look for in a friendship is the same three basic things.
Ooh, and it's, what are they?
Somebody to talk to, which, yeah, like, you need someone to like listen to, someone to depend on, and someone to enjoy. So it's basically, like, I think that's totally true. Like, you want someone who's loyal, who's comfortable, mm-hmm. who's fun. Like, I'm not going to have friends with someone who's dull. Like, I personally think who's dull. Like,
that's boring. Yes.
Yeah. And the only difference between 14 and 100 is the circumstances of that friendship, or like how it developed.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, it's those are the three core things that we seek.
Yeah. I think that's definitely mm-hmm. reasonable.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's pretty much. What do you look for in a relationship? I feel like you asked me and I never asked you before.
Oh, no, we did. I talked about it. I swooped my opinion in there
you
earlier.
You swooped in? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I did.
I wasn't listening. I'm
sorry.
Oh,
that's how nice of you. You're not my friend anymore.
No, I
speak
think
of
I
friendships,
just,
right?
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
There's the good and the bad.
There is one thing I wanted to do before we ended, actually, because I talked about Vanessa and I talked about Erica and I talked about Naomi and I didn't.